Welcome, everybody. This is You Get the Blessing.
You're listening to the music of Bo Mitchell.
About 4 years ago.
This is golf music.
Now I three-putt everything and I'm about to blow. I'm stuck in three-putt prison, round after rugby round.
Golf music, new genre.
Is this actually you?
No matter how I practice.
This is Jason.
I'm still Bo get bound. I used to stand and drill them from 20 feet or more. But now I push and pull them. It's impossible to score when you're stuck in three-putt prison. It's tough to draw it back.
And that's a fact.
No matter how I read them, I blow it off the track.
All right, that's enough golf music for today. This music will be available before you know it at local record stores, maybe.
Golf's greatest hits, is that what you're calling it?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
These songs were written a long time ago, and finally, Jason Hickman, who does worship music with Biff Gore at Bob's Church, Highline Community Church, put some music to the lyrics.
We're doing a series on Psalms, and we're calling it God's Greatest Hits. So
that's a good idea. Way to go. Well, You Get the Blessing is a program that exists to introduce you, our listeners, to individual guests today, a couple that we think are impacting the lives in our communities for Christ. So I'd like y'all to welcome Matt and Lynn Blake. Welcome to the program, y'all.
Thank you very much.
So, Matt, let's start with you. Just give us a little background as to where you're from and what it was like around your place growing up as a kid.
Sure thing. I grew up in rural northern Connecticut, and I was raised Catholic, large kind of Irish Catholic family with roots in the Northeast out of Boston and everything, and was raised going to church my entire life, and we went to catechism and CCD and all the sacraments of the Catholic faith growing up, and but, you know, I would say that, you know, while I was raised in that manner, I wasn't truly awakened until I moved out here to Vail after meeting Lynn, and some circumstances put us together and brought us to where we are now. But yeah, I moved out up here to Vail in 2002, and just to kind of try something new as a single guy with some other guys, and ended up working at the Vail Cascade Resort and Spa in West Vail, and that's where I met my current wife, Lynn. Here, we believe that we were supposed to meet there, and we've been married for almost 9 years at this point.
And I'd like to say your only wife, not just your wife.
So
thank you.
So Lynn,
wait, you only have one?
No. So Lynn, did Matt fall in love with Christ first or you first?
Well, I'd like to think Christ first. Since he was raised in a Catholic home, I think that his parents tried to instill that. But I came soon after, and now I think he's fallen in love with Christ even more than he had prior to meeting me.
Okay, so what's your background, Lynn? Where were you born?
Sure. So I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, and loved living there. I grew up coming out to Vail, skiing in the winters, and we would come in the summertime as well. So I just always had a natural draw to the area. And after graduating from college, I actually taught a year of school back in Fort Worth and just thought, this is not what I want to be doing for the rest of my life, and I'll just move out to Colorado for a year. And of course, thought that I would be moving back to Texas someday. And fortunately, met Matt, and the rest is kind of history.
And how about your own faith? When did your faith in Christ start?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I actually grew up in a very Christian household. My mom is very devout. She is one of the most godly women that I've ever met, and I just feel so blessed actually to have a mother that that introduced me to Christ at such a young age and really encouraged that my whole life. But I would say that, you know, there's never really a relationship with God and Christ was not really mine until we experienced some events later in life, which made me see God's hand in my life. So I was a Christian, but I didn't have a deep relationship with him.
So just to clarify, Bob, the Catholic faith is great if the priest is pointing you to a relationship with Christ, not just a set of rules, do's and don'ts. And it can work for a lot of people. Some people, it sends them away from really the core of truth in the Bible, which is you can have a relationship with God through Christ. But it is great when the priest knows the Lord.
Yeah, I think that, and you know, in some ways, the way that you've just put it, it's no different than hardly any other church, you know, or denomination, that the leadership, the pastor, whether it's, you know, Lutheran or Presbyterian or whatever, if that person has, if the pastor has a relationship with Christ and, you know, can really help you understand what that means and come to a personal relationship and commitment. And when it's not there, it's oftentimes just man's religion. So I think that, you know, sometimes I think the Catholic Church maybe gets a little bit of a bad rap, but you simply because I think a lot of people that have come from Catholic backgrounds felt like stuff was just kind of jammed down their throat, and they didn't know Jesus. So, but again, that can be true in any denomination.
So our guests today are Matt and Lynn Blake. We talked a little about their backgrounds and their faith, and I want to move now a little forward in your life as husband and wife. I know something happened that we want to discuss today on the program, because overcoming adversity is a part of this. When you commit to Christ, you don't just all of a sudden sign up for easy sledding and a problem-free life. So why don't you start, Matt, and tell us what happened?
Sure thing. And, you know, basically, you know, Lynn and I, you know, fell in love. We, you know, definitely fell in love at first sight with both of us. And we, you know, had a situation where we dated for a few years and eventually got married here in February of 2007. We got married on February 3rd. It was a wonderful winter wedding up here. And like many couples do, we decided to take a honeymoon to a beach spot down in the British Virgin Islands for, I think it was about 8 or 9 days, and then returned here to our busy lives in the Vail Valley. And then on February 14th, happens to be Valentine's Day, 2007, so 11 days after we got married, I got a phone call in my office that something was wrong with Lynn, that she passed out. They thought she might have had a seizure or something, and I better get down there. And, you know, my wife, Lynn, you know, this is obviously a radio program, but she's very healthy. She's beautiful. And she just, you know, is healthier than anyone I know. Doesn't even eat meat, much healthier than I am. And I thought, oh, you know what? It was her second day on a new job. She was probably just nervous, had low blood sugar, might not have had enough to eat, might have fainted. You know, maybe we'll get her a Coke and an OJ and some saltine crackers and she'll be fine. And sure enough, when I got down there, I realized it was much more of a grave situation than we had realized. And I'll let Lynn interject from here.
Well, I had gone to work that day, and I actually don't remember anything about February 14th, 2007. But while I was at work, I was having a conversation with a coworker when I suddenly fell over in my chair due to sudden cardiac arrest. Fortunately, there was a lady in our office who had just been trained in CPR, so she was able to step forward and give me chest compressions. And fortunately, the fire department was right across the street, so they were able to run over and continue CPR. And the paramedics were just right around the corner, so they had a defibrillator and delivered 3 shots to my chest and restarted my heart. So from there, they took me to the Vail Valley Medical Center, where they called Flight for Life, but there was so much snow in the area that day that they could not actually fly me down to Denver. So the paramedics had to take the ambulance from Vail down to Presbyterian St. Luke. And so from there, I got an implanted pacemaker defibrillator and really woke up to finding out what had happened about 3 days later in the hospital. We were there for a total of 11 days, I believe. But, you know, prior to that incident, I did not know really what cardiac arrest was. I had never been trained in CPR. And really, I think the only thing I knew about defibrillators is that I saw them rubbed together on TV. And that's not even the way they work. So I thought, goodness, how do I not know more about cardiac arrest, which is our nation's leading cause of unexpected death? And, it almost took my life. How do I not know more about this? And really started doing some research and found that most people don't know what cardiac arrest is. And actually, I think 3 years after, decided to establish an organization called Starting Heart, which is dedicated to saving the lives of sudden cardiac arrest victims. So we're trying to help save others by increasing awareness and educating people on how to perform CPR and then how to use defibrillators.
That is an amazing story. And tell our listeners, because I didn't introduce you this way, but how old were you on that February day when this happened in 2007?
I was 27 years old.
27 years old when this hit. So it's odd that I now remember this, but I have heart disease in my family. And the worst form of heart disease you can have, as we teach here on our program, You Get the Blessing, is to be in the prison of unbelief and have a heart that has not been turned on to Jesus Christ and not inclined towards building every phase of life on that relationship. But I also have the other kind of heart disease in my family. And my wife and I, on our anniversary, were walking in Vail. And for the fourth time, I had had this discomfort in my throat, just very mild breathing. And she said, get in the car, friend. We're going to the emergency room. And I said, oh, no, we're not. And we went to that same emergency room there you were probably in, Lynn. And the guy ran some blood work and said, you've got heart disease and you're not moving. I said, well, you're not touching me. So what do we do now? So I was probably in that same ambulance heading to Denver. And the next day I had two heart stents put in. So what you're describing is an amazing life story that God had more for Lynn and Matt Blake, spared your life. And now you have taken that adversity and turned it into, I guess I won't call it a ministry, but an organization that is trying to save other lives. So tell me, how many years did it take you to be recovered to where you felt safe and inspired to start what you started, Starting Heart?
Well, it took a little while for everything to kind of settle in and for me to understand and grasp what had happened. 92% of the people who experience a cardiac arrest do not survive. And so I just thought, gosh, more lives have to be saved. And it took about 3 years, I think, for me to finally establish the organization. But I feel that my life was saved for a reason. God saved my life so that I could make a difference and help others. And that's why I established the organization. So looking at the situation in retrospect, you see God's hand all over this day, all over my life leading up into this point. I just feel so compelled to be able to share what God's done in my life through saving others. But it is a ministry. It's not just an organization.
Oh, good.
And that's how I see it from my perspective as her husband. It took her a little while to figure this out, and both of us, frankly. I mean, we're well-educated people in the, you know, wealthiest country in the world, and, you know, we've read all the classics, and, you know, just feel as though we, you know, have a pretty good mastery of life. And the fact that neither of us knew CPR or what a defibrillator did or even what a cardiac arrest was and how that's different from a heart attack was hard for us to process. And, you know, it was a scenario where, you know, we were just married and I had to answer some very tough questions and sign some documents in the hospitals that made it very apparent that we were married. But, you know, it changed our lives forever. And, you know, I think a lot of folks, and the way I would kind of, Lynn's very humble, but a lot of folks would, you know, feel bad for themselves if something like this happened. And they had to have an implanted device and another surgery every 5 to 7 years to replace it with a new one, and they'd feel bad for themselves. And what Lynn did is she looked at it like a blessing. And, you know, this happened to me for a reason, and it has given her knowledge that she wouldn't have had in a sense of purpose in life, where, you know, she tried to go back to that job, but it just didn't seem right. You know, and I'm in the real estate business up here, and it was some pretty dark times in the market in 2010 when she started the nonprofit called Starting Hearts. But we both just felt so convicted that, you know, this is what we need to be doing. And since then, you know, real estate has never been so good to me. And we just feel like it's enriched our lives so much, being able to spread awareness about sudden cardiac arrest and early defibrillation and CPR and just what this blessing has done. It's made us better people. And it's a shame that as humans, we're weak and we need to go through these traumatic circumstances sometimes to have an awakening as such. But that's really how Lynn and I both view it, is this was a turning point in our lives for the better, you know, when this tragedy struck at Valentine's Day 2007. And I think we're both very happy at this point that it happened.
Were you guys ever angry with God?
No, I don't think so. I was always so happy with God and so appreciative. And I always felt so blessed because he saved my life. And, you know, I was one of those 8% that actually survived. And so I felt like it was a miracle at all that I was even alive and that I was able to continue my marriage and my life with my husband.
Amen. It's the right attitude. But it's interesting, Bob, how we end up ministering out of having our own needs met or some tragedy or near tragedy like this in Lynn and Matt's life, isn't it?
Yeah, and we were talking earlier about the, you know, the concept of the upside down life. I used that expression before when you look what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount would be a good illustration, because, you know, I think when he sat down to begin to teach this crowd that potentially thought this could be the Messiah, the King of Israel, he's going to give us our marching instructions and life is, it's getting ready to really get good. We're going to get rid of these Roman guys and, you know, things are going to cruise. And Jesus gets up and starts out with, blessed are the poor, you know, and they had to kind of be looking around at one another, poor in spirit in Matthew, poor in Luke. You know, and he goes on from there to, you know, blessed are those who mourn. So it's kind of like happy are the poor, happy are the sad, you know, and then next, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger. I mean, everything he said was completely opposite of, you know, the way that, you know, most of us, including his audience, view life. And I've oftentimes thought about, you know, we look at certain situations and we say, boy, that was a good situation. And then another situation, that was a bad situation. And I think from God's perspective, sometimes what we would identify as good is really bad. And a lot of times, as in their, you know, Lynn's situation, what we would normally look at as bad was really good. And so, you know, sometimes, and again, I don't think that Jesus was teaching about the upside down world. I think what he was trying to help people understand is that the world we live in is upside down. And he was teaching about, here's what a right side up world looks like. So it's a pretty radical, you know, reorientation of the way we think.
And I like the fact that we serve a God that's orderly and logical. It all makes perfect sense to me, but he's also a God of the miraculous, and what took place in your lives was miraculous. And now you not only live to tell the story, live to raise your children and have a great marriage, but you live to share with others, hey, you need to be aware of this because we can save some lives. So tell us, how can people learn about what you do, and how can listeners help you?
Well, they can visit startinghearts.org, or they can just take a CPR class and learn how to recognize when someone's experiencing a cardiac arrest and how to use a defibrillator. So there are three things that you have to do in order to save a life. That's call, push, and shock. So first, call 911. Second, push hard and fast in the center of the chest or perform chest compressions. And then third, deliver a shock using the nearest automatic external defibrillator or AED. So if people just do those three things when they see someone experience a cardiac arrest, That's how they can directly help us save more lives. But of course, we accept donations, and we also are asking for people to help us distribute defibrillators.
So you sound like a baseball coach here. It's a good hitting instruction. Call, push, and shock.
Exactly. So. You know, the message has always been so confusing in the past regarding CPR. You know, people would take a certification class, and they would leave thinking, well, what did I just learn? How many compressions to breast do I give? And so we're really just trying to simplify the message. And if you ask most anybody what they would do if they were to catch on fire, they would say stop, drop, and roll. And that's because that's been ingrained in people's heads since they were in elementary school. So we really want to just simplify how people are thinking about and responding to cardiac arrest. So call, push, and shock. Doesn't get much easier than that.
Okay, so if you're hitting a baseball, those fans of the Rockies that are listening, and you're trying to hit it properly, the instruction is short, quick, and down. That's how you hit a baseball. If you're trying to save somebody's life because they're on fire, stop, drop, and roll. And if you're in the ministry that Matt and Lynn Blake, our guests, are in, I like this. Call, push, and shock. So on a day-to-day basis, tell us what you do, Lynn, to spread this word.
Well, right now, we actually have an 8-month-old son, which you might hear him in the background a little bit during this interview because he's here playing around. But so I'm spending most of my days actually with him at the moment. But I previously was out teaching classes 2 to 3 days a week, and also going out checking with different locations on their defibrillators and adding those to a database that we have here in Eagle County. But now we have an executive director that has taken over that responsibility for me. So he's actually allowing me the opportunity to stay home with my son. So life has changed a little bit, but the organization is really out there trying to educate the community, increase access to defibrillators, and then also connect the community through a program called Pulse Point, which is a reverse 911 system. And it alerts people that are nearby when someone is experiencing a cardiac arrest. So it connects those trained responders with defibrillators and the person that needs their help.
Okay, Matt, I want to ask you then, so when disaster strikes and there are listeners who might think, well, you know, that's all good, Bob and Bo, what you talk about the Bible, but this is real life. My wife's laying here, her heart stopped. They're saying the worst could happen. Tell us your mindset and what was going on in your heart when disaster was striking right on the spot.
Well, an intense mix of emotions, but you know, I will tell you that Lynn's mother was with us, and as she mentioned earlier in the interview, she's as godly a woman as we've ever met, and she sets such an incredible example. And they live up here in Edwards, and she happened to be by my side in the emergency room when Lynn had a blood clot. They were even thinking of amputating her leg, and I was just trying to process it all. And Lynn's mother's name is Olga, and she was so strong, and she just prayed and gave it up to God and realized, you know, we are not in control here, and there's only one power that can heal her. And she was so confident. You know, I was a mess, but I really, you know, watching her and taking that in has forever changed my life. I can picture her with her hand on Lynn's leg, and we said a prayer that the clot would go away. And 25 minutes later, that clot had dissipated. So I would say have steadfast faith and trust in God and give it up in prayer and do all that you can. And I will tell you, God is good, because many people told us, you know, even after this, hey, you know, you have your life, you'll probably never be able to have children. And we were given that gift about 8 months ago, as we mentioned. It wasn't easy, but we got there, and that's just the most precious gift. So, you know, this has given us, again, a really strong sense of purpose in our lives with starting hearts. And, of course, Lynn's now other purpose in life and raising a son. And it's very special to us. So, you know, those are really difficult times when you're against the wall like that. But I think having trust and faith is what I would certainly recommend, having been through it.
So listeners, now is the time to get out in front of whatever might be coming your way. Don't wait to consider the claims of Christ. Billy Graham says basically it comes down to three decisions with Christ. You either accept Christ, you reject him, which I don't think most people do, or you neglect him, which I'm afraid happens too frequently. People just think, well, I'll get around to that someday. Well, you don't know when your someday is going to be February 14th and your heart's going to stop. So I had a guy recently that had 2 days to live, wanted me to come over and explain to him how he could get to heaven. And I said, well, I happen to know that answer out of the third chapter of the book of John. So I went over there, and I'm sure Mr. Burke is in heaven today because he did pass away a few days later. But make those decisions now. That's why this program exists. That's why we love having guests like Matt and Lynn Blake share their story, because it hit pretty hard for them and their faith was there, Bob.
Yes, it's, and we really appreciate you guys sharing it with us and with our audience.
So we'll see you all again next week. But thanks a lot, Matt and Lynn, for being our guests today.
Thank you. It's been a distinct pleasure for both of us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Blessings, and we'll talk soon. And see you next week on You Get the Blessing.
Years ago, now I three-putt everything, and I'm about to blow. I'm stuck in three-putt prison, round after round.